look at this, and first I want us to look at the language of apostates, their words, and I want to say a couple of things about that. I don't want to say it, I just want to point out what the Bible has said about the words of these apostates. Now, it's real simple to look at something here. Maybe it'll call to your minds some personal experience you've had, something you've witnessed in your life as a Christian. But here's the first thing said about the words or the language of apostates. And it begins like this in verse 16, talking about who they find fault with. Have you recognized there are a lot of fault finders today? Amen. A lot of fault finders. Well, notice who apostates particularly find fault with, and it's under two categories. The first thing he mentions is murmurers. The second thing he mentions is complainers. So these apostates are murmurers. And when the Bible talks about murmurers, murmurers ultimately are murmuring against the person of God himself. In this case, they're murmuring against Jesus Christ. People today who are fast and loose with their tongues, they have this catch-all description of God, but you know who they really, really murmur against? Jesus Christ. They don't have any problem with any other religious figure, so to speak. But you notice all of the profanity and everything. It's not about Allah or Buddha or anybody like that. It's directed against the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostates, really, their murmuring is against the person of Christ. I'll give you some verses to back that up. In John chapter 6 and verse 41, the Bible says the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread which cometh down from heaven. The more they listened to Jesus, the more they realized to their dismay that he was equating himself with God, and they hated that. You know, I was doing some reading on the resurrection early this morning. You remember in Matthew chapter 27, after Jesus died, the Jews went groveling before Pilate and begging that a guard be placed over the tomb. And here's what they said. They said, because we know that he said that he wasn't going to stay in that tomb. Those foolish men weren't worried about the disciples stealing the body. Somehow they thought, I really believe that they, better part of them, believed that he was who he said he was. But Jesus said it himself. He said they would rather maintain their own place than recognize who Jesus was. And those foolish men thought that they could set sentries before the tomb and keep the Lord in it. That's the insanity of sin. In John 6 and verse 61, the Bible says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, that's that throng of followers, he said, doth this offend you? This is people murmuring directly at Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. And he's referring back to the wilderness wanderings of the Jews when they murmured against God because they wanted meat, because they didn't get water when they wanted water, because they thought Moses was taking too much. Anything they could find to murmur at, they were murmuring at, but they were really murmuring against the Lord's will for their lives. And then Jude goes on and he further says about these apostates and the words, the way they talk. He says they're also complainers. You know what complainers do? And I'll just throw out this reminder once again, beloved. I thank God. As far as I know, we don't have much of this going on in this church. But there was a time when we had much more than we needed in it. And any is more than we need. But a complainer is specifically somebody who's complaining against the people of Christ. The murmuring is against the person of Christ, but the complainer complains against the children of God. They find fault with their brother or their sister in Christ. Let's all be reminded that the Bible says, the Apostle Paul wrote, avoid the very appearance of evil. So we ought to be very careful about finding fault with one another, just picking at one another. And because we don't want to, in any shape, form, or fashion, identify ourselves with the way that apostates speak, the words of an apostate. See, here's the thing, a complainer, when you got a complainer in the church, they can't please, you can't please them. They can't be pleased, not by man, not by God. You can try everything in the world to satisfy them and to please them. They're never going to be pleased. How many of you know that there have been people like that in churches? And they've kept the churches in turmoil forever because they're constantly complaining against the brethren, against their brothers, so-called brothers and sisters in Christ. So you see who they find fault with. That's the first thing said about their words. And then, secondly, concerning their words, the next portion of verse 16 tells us who apostates fawn over. See, they fawn over a certain type. They'll complain against certain brothers and sisters in Christ, but then there are other people they fawn over. Look at verse 16. It says there, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Watch this. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Beloved, we want to be careful about having men's persons. You know what men are? All men and women, Christian men and Christian women, doesn't matter if they're behind a pulpit or in a pew, are just sinners saved by grace. Amen. And it's dangerous for the person doing the fawning and the person who's allowing himself to be fawned over. It's dangerous all around to do that. You know, I think about when Peter and or Paul and Silas, I believe it was Paul and Silas at that point, that went into a certain city. I believe it was Lystra maybe or Derbe, but anyway, when they went into that city and preached, the people were so impressed and overwhelmed, they began to throw themselves down and tried to worship them as God, fawning over them. Do you know what Paul and Silas's response was? They didn't say, "We deserve this. After all, I am Dr. Paul and this is Dr. Silas. And, you know, we're God's gift to humanity." You know what Paul and Silas did? They both began to tear their clothes and tear their hair. They were so upset by it. They said, we be men just like you. But these apostates, they love to cultivate this kind of thing for others and for themselves. In John chapter 5 and in verse 46, 44. Listen how serious this is. Jesus said, "How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Now there's a dangerous proposition there. Jesus is talking to these scribes and Pharisees, and he said, "How can you believe? As long as you're so tied up, wrapped up in receiving honor one of another and giving honor to men." That's serious. In other words, as long as they're doing this, they're going to have a real big problem with ever being saved. People don't need to have their eyes on man. They need to have their eyes on Jesus Christ. But these apostates, they love, you know, the first apostates in the church, the major apostates that kicked off the Roman Catholic apostasy, what were they? What did they do? They elevated a pope. They have all these cardinals and all of this kind of rigmarole. It's exactly what the Bible, and the pope wants to be called, you know, the great father and the vicar on earth, and all the priests want to be called father. And so Jesus said, call no man father except God. See, I'm just trying to underscore here, show what Jude is saying is typical of apostates. I'm not singling anybody out. It doesn't just happen in Catholic churches. Baptists will do it. You'll find it happening in Baptist churches if you allow it to happen. Amen. Now, so they speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration. Now, these great swelling words. Now, one thing apostates will do for sure is they will try to build themselves up. They'll speak great swelling words about their own selves, their own evaluation, their own reasoning. In Proverbs 12 and in verse 15, the Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Now, I'm coming up on something that's really, really current. Apostates, they are the end of wisdom. You know what's going on right now? I'm going to call it this, a outright bashing of Bible-believing, fundamental Christians. Amen. Just an outright bashing of it. Get on the internet. Mean, vitriolic, hateful, nasty, sarcastic, smart-alecky. And you know who's doing it? You say, well, it must be the atheists and the infidels and all of that. No, it's Christians. It's worldly Christians doing it. That's who's bashing. And if history replays like it always does, this persecution that is looks like it's coming down upon America will be led at the last by liberal, worldly, so-called Christians who know nothing of Christ, but they despise holiness. Now, I want to say right now, beloved, just to help it, all of us a little bit. We know, and I'll just mention Independent Baptist because this is where a lot of the bashing is coming to. And that rank is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But I want to say this. We all recognize, don't we, that there have been among Independent Baptists some horrific wrongs done. I mean some bad things by Independent Baptists. They've abused their authority in the pulpit. They've made merchandise of God's people. They've become a reproach in the news and everywhere else to God. Independent Baptist. But I want to just underscore this. That's been the exception and not the rule. And furthermore, there's no denomination or anything like that that hasn't also committed their violations. Amen? But who is singled out? I'm going to tell you these bashers. Here's what I've learned during my pastorate. Here's what I'm seeing when I hear this today and I see it coming from different quarters. Some things that they have in common is that they all have a real, as I already said this, but they all have a real problem with practical holiness. Oh, they formed little clubs like Alcoholic Anonymous and so on, you know.
Oh, we've been rescued. We've managed to get out, and we were rescued from fundamentalism. Well, some of them needed to be. Amen. I wouldn't want it to be in some of the messes these guys have created. But the people that are doing the bashing are guilty of the very same things they're accusing Bible-believing independent Baptists of. In fact, they're worse. Because they're coming out wholesale with their scattergun of vitriol and venom, putting it all over the internet, the radio, anywhere they can get it. There's something bad wrong with them. And a lot of them are on pastors or on staff somewhere. Or they're just people who've never been able to get along anywhere. Because, as is spoken of earlier in the book of Jude, they hate authority of any kind. And let me tell you the authority. Now, they'll act like their problem is with man. Their problem is really not with man's authority. Their problem is with the authority in this book. That's where their real problem is. And you preach the word, and they're going to get mad about it. You get on something that rings their bell, that affects them, they're going to get hostile about it and show their true colors, what they really are. And so, beloved, we have an all-out frontal attack on Bible-believing Christianity. I really need to qualify that a little more. Bible-believing, Bible-living Christianity. Amen. And mainly it's coming from the so-called religious crowd. And they hate holiness. I'll show you that a little bit more here in this passage. So somebody said not too long ago, they said, I'm just getting so sick and tired of seeing this, and I just feel like responding to it, and so on and so forth. But they said, I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and they brought up this verse, and it's a good verse. Proverbs 14 and 16 says, the fool rageth and is confident. But then Proverbs goes on and says in chapter 26, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. I used to write to Paul a lot when he was in the military, and this has been my advice to all of my kids and to everybody else that's interested in getting some advice, and that is, don't get down in the mud and wallow with hogs. Amen. They want to get you into it. But don't get down and wallow with them. It's really better just to proclaim the truth, warn the brethren, warn your family, clue them in to what all of this is about, and then leave the judgment of these apostates to God. Now, they may be flying high tonight, beating their bongos and playing their tambourines and dancing across stages and so-called churches and spitting out their venom against Bible-believing Christians. But they're not going to live forever. And judgment is coming. Proverbs 29:11 speaks to these apostates as a fool uttereth all of his mind. See, these apostates think they know best. They'll say things like this. It's 2015. These things can't apply today. Now, I just want to say, when it comes to standards and all of these, we need to make sure that it fits with the Bible. Amen. We don't need to be ranting and raving about preferences, personal preferences. Usually when people do that, they got something they're trying to cover. We just need to stick with the Word of God. And we need to let all of our things be done in love. Now, tonight, I'm fired up and teaching this lesson because it's something to be fired up about. But I really don't want to. I don't want to be in the flesh and make people think, lost people coming in here, that I'm mad and we're all mad at everybody. I don't want that. But I do want us as God's people and as a church to be mad at apostasy.
Amen. Oh, these apostates, they think they know what's best. They think they know what will and what won't work and so on and so forth. And the Bible's not their criteria. And they have men as objects of adulation. Our text says that having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. And they refer to men as their authorities. I couldn't tell you how many times I've had somebody say, "Well, I know what you're saying. I know what the Bible says there, but this is what Dr. So and so says in his commentary. This is the way the big guru on the West Coast or the East Coast believes it. And here's what our attitude should be. Who cares? Who cares what they believe and what they think? See, here's one of the key distinctives of Baptist, and that is that the Bible is our sole rule of faith and practice. Not any convention, not any creed of man, but the Word of God. Now, the Bible says here in our text, they speak great swelling words. Because they prefer swelling words to sound words. Amen. Psalm 73 and verse 9 says, "They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth." I heard a preacher not long ago on the radio, and he was preaching. This may not have much to do with this, but he was preaching a good sound sermon. But every now and then and again in his sermon, he'd say something like this. This is one of the things he said. He said, and he says, and just when you think you're going to be doing this, that, or the other, and you know it's going to hurt like leaving it for the people's imagination, putting it into people's minds. This is a Baptist preacher. The whole rest of his sermon, if you'd left that out, would have been a great sermon. But do you think the Holy Spirit of God ever led a man to say something like that? I don't believe it. Great, full of himself, his tongue walking through the earth, out of control. In Psalm 12 and in verse 4 says, "They have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?" What a verse. Look that up. Psalm 12 and in verse 4. In Daniel 11 and verse 36, it says, "And the king shall do according to his will." This is a prophecy of the Antichrist. Look what it says about him. "And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods." When Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verse 20, he said, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called." So there's the words and the language of apostates. And then he talks about their walk. In other words, their lifestyle of apostates. It's already addressed that some, but here he does it some more. In verse 18, here's some characteristics of the lifestyle and the walk of an apostate. Number one, they follow the flesh. Now, not everybody that follows the flesh is necessarily an apostate. I followed the flesh for 21 years. I wasn't an apostate. I was just lost. But an apostate, remember, listen carefully. An apostate is somebody who knows the truth. They have heard the truth, heard it, and they go against it. That's what apostasy is. Everybody who follows the flesh, not necessarily an apostate, but every apostate will follow the flesh. In verse 18, he says, "How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time." Renee says, remember the words of the apostles and our Lord Jesus Christ. They told you that there would be mockers in the last times who shall walk after their own ungodly lust. Now, I said I am shocked by all of the mocking and scoffing and blasphemy and sacrilege today, but I shouldn't be shocked by it. Because we've been told in the Word of God that in the last days that this would be going on as never before. And I said to my wife this morning, I said to her, I never would have believed that just in the last 20 years, 15 years, even 10 years, there has been such an explosion of blatant mocking and scoffing the God of heaven, His Son Jesus Christ, and everything that's holy and good. These mockers and scoffers and bashers that I were talking about are mentioned in the Bible. They're people who despise them that are good. That's their problem. They're not good people. They're bad people. And they despise them who are good. They'll say things like this. Oh, you think you're perfect. We're not perfect. Well, I was brought up in that church and they tried to, you know, if you weren't perfect. And oh, come on. Who would get up tonight and say, I'm perfect? Amen. I've met some people probably be close to saying that. There are none of them here, but they make charges of this sort. But Jude is saying, remember, we've been told that there would be mockers and scoffers in the last days. And I said to Judy, it couldn't be more obvious that we are in the last of the last of the last days today. Now look at something else in verse 19 about them. It says, these be they who separate themselves, they're sensual. Now you know what sensual people do who love sensuality? They mock morality. That's what the Hollywood crowd is all about. Mocking morality. They make it a big joke. They say you're puritanical. They say you're holier than thou. You say your behavior is outdated and it's outmoded. And here's an accusation they like to make. They'll say you're too narrow. Well, Jesus said, straight is the gate. That's still in there. That's still true. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. A real Christian, don't be surprised if they're narrow concerning what the Bible says and not broad-minded about it, allowing anything and everything to go. I was talking to a man this morning. I was witnessing to him, and he mentioned that he happens to be a martial arts instructor. And I was talking to him, and he mentioned that he said, where I go to church, he said, you hear all of these different things. He said, people say this. He said this. He said, in his innocence, he said, there's so many different ways, it seems like, to view Christianity. To view what the Bible says. There's so many different ways to view it. And I said, no, there's only one way. God doesn't accept any and every way that people want to view and respond to what He has said. See, a whole lot of people need to understand this today. And I said to this guy, I said, how would you like it if you have taught your students one method, one way, and several of them come back and say, you know what, I think I'm going to do it this way. I think I'm going to do it. And another one said, I know what you've said, but I'm going to be a little broader. I said, would you like that in your school? He laughed. Of course not. See, the Bible is not open for negotiation. Amen. It's not a smorgasbord either, where you just pick and choose what you want.
And you make it say, how many times have you heard people say, oh, the Bible can be interpreted so many ways? No, it can't. It can only be interpreted correctly one way. So, another thing about these apostates, they follow the flesh. I'll skip over a couple of things here. And look at another thing in verse 19. It says, these be they who separate themselves. Now, without fail, what apostates will get around to, if they're allowed to get that far, is they will foster factions. In other words, they'll try to get themselves a following. There have been churches like ours where that some apostate will come in, pass himself or herself off as being real likely, and honey wouldn't melt in her mouth, know how they love Jesus and all of that. Once they get a toehold, then they start spewing out all of these false teachings. And they try to get a following. One church I went to pastor years ago, when I got to the church, the better part of half of that church was into wild charismatic belief and practice. And the other half, believe it or not, was really into hard shell Calvinism. Now, you talk about a mixed bag. There it was. But I found out that there had been a woman come into that church, and she had catered the affection and the favor of the young ladies in the church, started having them over to her house for Bible study. She called them afterglow. That's the first time I ever heard the term afterglow, Brother Aaron, connected to those women having their meeting. And had them all trying to act like charismatics. And that ended real quick. It was the grace of God. But this is what apostates do. They will try to get themselves a following. And that's exactly what Jude is saying here, because they believe they have superior wisdom. In 1 John 2 and 19, John said, they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And the Bible says that just has to happen to separate the wheat from the chaff. It will happen. It's happened to us. 1 Corinthians 11:19 says, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now, let me close real quick with this. We've looked at their language, their speech. We've looked at their walk, their conduct, their lifestyle. And here's their problem. Their problem revolves around something that they lack. It revolves around something that's wanting where these apostates are concerned. And it's made real plain and terse and short here. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves sensual, here's the problem, having not the Spirit. That's their whole problem. They don't have the Spirit of God. Somebody said one time, the inward witness is the strongest proof of Christianity. I don't need anybody to convince me that I'm saved. I have a witness within giving me assurance of my salvation. It's a good thing, too. Because there have been times in my life that if I hadn't had that inner witness, the devil would have got me to believing I was unsaved because of the way I was behaving. Amen. And some of you know what I'm talking about. But there's something within. I've dealt with people through the years who would come doubting their salvation. They were living like they shouldn't be living and so on and so forth. And they'd quenched the Spirit and so on and so forth. And the devil had gotten them to suspect maybe they weren't saved. I've had scores and scores of people like that come And they'd say, I just need to pray. I don't even know if I'm saved. And I'll tell you what, I never try to talk somebody into salvation. Ever. And I don't try any of this 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Salvation is easy, but I don't need anybody putting words in my mouth. So I would get down and begin to pray with these people, eventually I would say, well, you know, if you don't think you're saved, then ask God to save you, He'll save you. And you know what happens most of the time? They can't bring themselves to do that. And they say, I know I'm saved. They'll give their testimony of their salvation. The thing is, they've lost the joy of their salvation, but the witness of the Spirit is still there. Now, see, these apostates, they don't have that. They it says, having not the Spirit. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In Romans 8 and 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So they don't have the Spirit, and that's revealed by them. When I hear people, I'm just going again because I'm so provoked by these bashers of fundamental Bible-believing Christians. Here's another really, really bad thing about their doing that, what they do, is because here's a whole lost world looking at this. Here are so-called Christians beating up on other Christians, calling them dirty names and everything else they can think of. If I was a lost person, I would think, what do I want to do with a mess like that? It's just wicked. Have you ever listened to somebody who claimed to be a Christian go off on somebody and boy, they do it all the time. Have you ever wondered, how could a Christian talk like that? How could a Christian constantly be yapping, criticizing some other woman or man in the church? You think, how could a Christian do that? I just want to tell you, there are people who have done that. They have criticized and dug and made personal attacks and smart remarks and digs at somebody else. Usually it's because they despise them because they're good. But I'll tell you, anybody that ever be guilty of that ought to examine themselves whether they be in the faith. Amen. If they've done it for any length of time and could just easily keep on doing it, you better examine yourself whether you're in the faith, whether you have the Spirit. I know people can get off, have a stupidity spasm, then repent and ask God's forgiveness, get forgiveness, but people that can go on and on and on and do that. You have to wonder, do they have the Spirit? In Acts 19 and verse 2, here's Paul, and he's run across some professed believers. Listen to his question to him. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost? These were some of Apollos' converts. Paul saw something in them that raised a red flag. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? In other words, do you know anything about the Holy Spirit in your life since you made that profession of faith? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Well, something's wrong there. But what provoked Paul to ask that question? There was something about these brethren. He said, I can't discern the Holy Spirit here. So he asked. Now, the good news is they got it right. So here is something revealed by these apostates. They tell it on themselves. That is that they have not the Spirit. But I'll close with this tonight. Their lack is that they have not the Spirit. That's not only revealed by them, but it's ruinous to them. It's ruinous. It will be their eternal ruin. Remember that verse in Romans 8 and 9? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Amen. So, here is, I mean, the Holy Spirit using Jude to really warn us about apostasy. I'm telling you, we have some apostates today. I was reading the testimony of one now who's come out and embraced everything from sodomy to you name it. He's one of the most publicized preachers in America today. They say he has 45,000 people in his crowd. Amen. And he'll just speak that apostasy, and the whole time he'll grin like he just swallowed the piano up to the keyboard. Need I say more? Apostasy. Amen. Let's all stand together.